Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, everyone, this is Paris. I am still here at Compulsion Games, and I've been here all day, and who better to wrap up the day with than the gentleman right here. So can you please introduce yourself?
For sure. Hi, my name is Jasmin Roy. I am game director on South of Midnight.
So we've been looking at South of Midnight all day today. Been able to talk to various members from the team, got to watch the documentary, got to talk to the voice cast. It's been a great day here at the studio. So I wanted to end it with you because I kind of want to dive into the gameplay demo that you actually were the one that was playing when we got to go through it. So I kind of want to go into that. So first and foremost, getting to see South of Midnight in action was great. Loved it. Loved what we got to see.
Thank you.
And I found out from a technical standpoint, just so people will know, you're running this on Unreal 4.
Yeah.
And you are targeting 60 frames per second on Xbox.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Now, in the gameplay that you're showing us, again, Hazel is the main character, and we were kind of going through a few different scenarios with her. The one that I was dying to ask you at the end of the demo, but I'm going to start this one off asking you here, was the exploration, because you showed it a little bit, kind of going off the beaten path. So how expansive is that going to be in the game?
Okay, so primarily, Silent of the Night is a narrative-driven game.
Yeah.
It unfolds, you know, it is Hazel's journey that unfolds as you progress through the game. And the story itself, as you'll discover once you get the game, has a huge forward momentum, right? So we wanted it to be a tight narrative that you'd go through and discover everything. Mm-hmm. But we wanted players to still be able to explore and get a little bit more richness to it. So it is primarily a linear game that's going to have side exploration on the side. We often describe South of Midnight as a wide linear game. And that means that sometimes it's going to have, you know, more of a very linear flow, and some of the times it opens up a little bit. It never goes into the realm of an open world, so to speak. But that's where the exploration will factor in. Some sections of the game have much more, you know, much larger, you know, exploration areas, while others will have mostly little mysteries you can discover across the board. And our goal for exploration was to both add environmental narrative to the experience so that you would go, let's say, inside a house or along a path that has, additional traversal and gameplay challenges. And the other reason why we wanted to have it was also because it is one of our main drive for collecting the currency you need for upgrades.
Yeah.
And you're going to want to do that.
Yeah.
And along as you collect everything to try to upgrade Hazel, you're also going to discover, you know, like all the vistas we created and adding that richness to it. So, Silent of the Night is primarily a narrative-driven game with a momentum that you're going to go, but on the side, if you explore, you will be able to discover a little bit more.
No, that's fantastic, because I was curious about that, like how extensive it would be, and you answered the question, which just leads me right into the next one about the upgrade. So, there is an incentive to go explore, because you're going to get the currency to be able to upgrade your character. Yeah. Now, even with the upgrades, that is also more of a linear upgrade. It's not like an expansive skill tree that branches out.
Right? Exactly. So what we have is that we've got different upgrades per skills that you're going to get through it. But Azel, as what we wanted to do with Azel was really work on her own style, you know, her style of fighting and everything. So what you're going to have to do is really focus on, as you progress and depending on how much you collect or not, you're going to focus on, oh, I want to upgrade this spell first or this one,
right.
this one. But ultimately, what we wanted to do was something where towards, you know, if you explore a lot, you'd end up having pretty much everything. Rather than being something that is like, oh, a commitment. Like, we wanted to flesh it out. We think the upgrades are really meaningful. They do change the way, they do change a bit, like, the way the efficiency of some of your spells. Mm-hmm. And they do sometimes comes with like little visual upgrades on them. So that's really cool. But, yeah, otherwise it is not necessarily a branching talent tree or anything. The game is really narrative-driven, third-person action-adventure rather than a full-fledged, let's say, RPG. Yeah.
Gotcha. Now, I think I was telling you this off-camera before we started. You know, I kind of let people know that I was here and kind of seeing the responses online. People were very excited about this game coming next year. But a critique that I've seen about the game, and since you did the reveal in January, and I hold this critique too, is the combat itself and it looking more enclosed arena base. Like, all of a sudden, once you go into an actual combat situation, the area is very closed off and tight. Is that throughout the game, or was it just for a visual standpoint from what people saw in June? Was that just one example of combat?
No. So the combat in the game is arena based. But one of the things that we haven't shown in Juice that we shown today was more of the variety of different archetypes that you're going to encounter, which does change how you're going to slowly play throughout the game. You know, it does change how the dance is going to happen. But no, we opted for an arena based combat because it did tie to our world building around, you know, the stigma and these location being really important to the story itself and everything, and having that feeling of kind of being trapped by the by that kind of aura around it. So stigma really is the representation of what happens when something terrible in a region happens. It breaks the fabric of reality, and it kind of creates this boundary that is haunted by these evil spirits, you know, that we call the Ents. And the Ents come in different archetypes, but it is definitely an arena-based combat that we're going to play with some levers on intensity and composition there to really bring it, you know, bring variety to the experience. Yep.
Let's talk about Two-Toe Tom.
Yeah.
That right, correct?
Right.
Yeah, Two-Toe Tom.
So Two-Toe Tom. Yeah.
That was a boss battle that we got to see in the demo. So I would naturally assume we're going to see different varieties of boss battles throughout the game. Yep. But sticking on Two-Toe Tom for a second, the music, he had his own, he essentially had his own theme music in the boss battle. So kind of elaborate on that.
Yeah, okay. So every of our mythical creature that you'll encounter do have their own music. And we do have a variety of different mythical creatures, right? So the mythical creatures and boss battle are two different concepts, but they're tied together. So not every mythical creature you're going to encounter is necessarily going to be a boss battle, but they all get their own themes. They all get their own musical thematic. So in terms of like the different experiences, some of them might be more a direct confrontation, like Two-Toe Tom. Some others might be more focused on traversal, others on narrative. But they all come with this these big songs that we went and recorded. And, you know, they have like big orchestras, big instruments. The biggest thing that people need to take away from this is the fact that the music along with the encounters kind of builds up. And we really wanted to add like this kind of musicality to the gameplay where as you progress through the phase, there's a new beat, there's a new part, and you kind of discover it. Of course, you'll have, you know, there's going to be like ways to listen to the song, so, you know, completely without being interrupted by the gameplay. But within the gameplay, we really wanted to embed the music itself, you know, and the lyrics of the song reflects on that creature's story. It expands a little bit of what you learn on the region about that creature. But they all come with their own musical themes.
Nice. Yeah. I'm looking, we're running a little short on time, so I'm gonna go a little more rapid fire try and get a few more things in. I have to say this though, because this was part of the boss battle with Two-Toed Tom. There was a pig with that, and I won't spoil it too much. One of the most hilarious things I've seen. I absolutely love that. And sounds like we're gonna encounter this pig further in the game. But again, talking about different scenarios in the game as far as combat goes, puzzle elements. Are there any puzzles in the game?
Yeah, we do feature puzzles. They all focus around Azel's magical abilities.
Yeah.
We wanted, with the weaving powers, to give players the feeling that they could interact with the magical elements of the settings, really. And puzzles all centers around using the different spells you have, kind of in a combination with ingredients to be able to progress. Usually to combine with your traversal abilities or free a path that was blocked, right? So it's all about Azel on that momentum, traversing the region, being stuck somewhere, be like, oh, how do I get out? And then we wanted players to go and interact with the powers to be able to get out of these sections. And in terms of gameplay pillars, we do have traversal, combat, puzzles, all of them kind of combines, and as you progress through the region.
So again, you mentioned a few times this is a narrative based game, but one aspect that we saw, and again I'll bring Two-Toed Tom back into this as an example, where you're unfolding his story, right? And at one point you went into the past. So can you talk about that scenario? How that works?
Okay, so you don't necessarily travel into the past, but as a weaver, as you unravel these corrupted strands that we call stigma, it reveals visions of the past to the weaver.
Yeah.
And they're able to then learn what caused the creature to transform, right? And learning about that transformation, and it ties also to the other characters you'll meet around the region, right? But learning this is really key to being, for a weaver to be able to heal the creature then.
Yeah.
They need to know what caused the problem to be able to then apply the problem, the necessary process in order to heal the creature.
So, and that's, you led me right into it, because that seems to be a central theme of Hazel's journey throughout this, you know, going through the story of South of Midnight, is healing the world around her and the characters around her. And I know we're running short on time, but just along those lines, I'm so happy what I've seen with South of Midnight being a representative of the South, the lore that comes from the South, the music that you have in the South, some of the characters that we've got to see already, the art styles that we've seen in there. It's really shaping up to be a fantastic game. And like,
thank you.
No. Yeah, of course. It's just, like I said, I wish I had more time, because there's just so much that we got to see in that demo that I think once people get to get their hands on this game and see for themselves, they're going to be very impressed. But is there any final words you would like to leave for anyone that's watching this about South of Midnight?
Well, we put all of our efforts into this, and we really hope that you're going to enjoy it. Really. Like, we can't wait for you guys to get your hands on the game and really try and play it. Everybody here is super excited to finally have, like be able to talk about it and reveal a bit more. So,
yeah, and I will just say this as we end this, and I thank you for your time. Everybody that I've spoken to today from the team, they're very proud of the work that they've been doing. They're very excited. Like, there was that anxious nervousness, like, first time we're getting to see it.
Yeah.
But everyone seems very excited and proud of the work that you've done with this game. And like I said, it's a great representative of Southern culture. So can't wait to learn more.
Yeah. Right. Thank you. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. No. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.